To all the boys I've loved before. Well, we got all that. A lot of Netflix original film television this week. We got news. We got top three upcoming releases and some hidden gems all coming up right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Come on,
this is actually a real good choice.
Thank you. Keep saying it. It was so beautiful.
You know what? It should have been Magic by Olivia Newton-John, now that I think about it, but it was an excellent.
How does that one go?
You know.
Yeah, let's hear.
It goes, you have to believe we are magic.
There's so much singing going on. And
so sorry.
Rick, how many retweets do I need to get on a tweet for you to do a 30-minute karaoke special live?
Do it.
10,000? 10,000?
10,000 tweets?
10,000 retweets.
10,000
retweets. If I can get a tweet to do 10,000 retweets, will you do a 30-minute...
I'll try. I would
call
try.
It 10 songs. Like 5, I would 8 try, to 10 songs.
But it'd be hard.
No expiration on this.
Yeah. No, we can put an explanation. Yeah. I can get 10,000 people to retweet it. All right. Hey, guys. Welcome back. You're watching Netflix Picks. We are at full strength. Steve Kaufman, KUF, MANN is back. And I'm Rick Hong. And next to me, I have...
Hello. I'm Ashley on camera. Good to be here, guys. Happy Sunday.
Yeah, we got Steve.
I'm here.
And we got Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hi, that's me.
All right, so we're going to start it off right off the bat because there are a lot that we want to talk about with Netflix originals this week, film and television. Mm-hmm. And the first film we're going to talk about, I'm going to let the ladies talk about it because I tried, but I don't think it's for my generation, but I don't think it's a bad movie. But Amy and Ashley, what did you think of To All the Boys I've Loved Before?
They really had me at the title. How about you, Amy?
Yes.
Okay.
What, really? No. Just like that? No. Good. You go first. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was fine. It was certainly nothing original Netflix. It was, in my opinion, when it was sort of She's All That meets Never Been Kissed with an Asian lead. And I wanted to like it a bit more for the multi. They had some diverse.
Yeah, the best part about it was the Asian lead, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Keep going. That's very true. She was. I think that Lana was the strong. She was a really great, really natural actress. She was great. The movie is about a young girl played by Lana Condor. And she basically has these 5 love letters. This is not giving away any spoilers that are, you know, delivered to the 5 boys that she actually has these huge secret crushes on. So it's cute. Certainly not anything original. It's just a rom-com. Kind of easy watching.
Well, Amy, let's get the other side.
Yeah,
the complete other side. Because I freaking loved it. I really did. I was talking to people. Well, to you, Rick. Yeah. About how there are different kinds of rom-coms. You can't just lump rom-coms together. Like, no. And this one falls up there. I mean, not as good as Crazy Rich Asians, but oh my gosh, go see it if you haven't already.
That's right.
But it's certainly up there, especially with Netflix and this kind of, you know, like younger generation. I am most definitely not in their demo, I would say, but I really, really
loved
it.
Yeah, but dude, you just graduated high school like last week, so
no,
I mean...
yesterday, actually. No, I'm 12.
Yeah, you're going back to your guy. She's going to her freshman year of college, like tomorrow, so...
I can see what you're saying, Ashley, about Never Been Kissed and She's All That.
Yeah.
But I say this one's even sweeter because it teaches you...
Sweeter?
Sweeter. Yes, really? I really do.
Never Been Kissed is a good movie.
Never Been Kissed is great.
So cute.
Yeah.
But this one, I think it's like a little bit more... For this generation, I mean, we had Never Been Kissed. We had She's All That. We've had a bunch of other ones that kind of get lumped together, which is fine. But this one stands out, I would say, a little bit. Yes, the Asian lead, she kills it. But also because it's so nice. And I know I'm not the only one because there's a lot of my friends on Insta stories just saying like, oh my gosh, I just finished bawling my eyes out. I didn't cry.
At what point would they cry?
There are a lot of really sweet parts. Oh, I would say you have to watch this one.
Wow, man,
it's definitely worth
laughing.
A watch. Yeah, for sure.
For sure, and it's really sweet and makes you think of when you were younger and you know, like breaking that wall down.
It's a coming of age tale. It's a coming of age story. Played by 30-year-old people, which is always a little difficult for me.
Played by 30-year-old... No.
She's not 30.
No,
I feel
not.
The need to keep the peace somehow just because I'm seated between you.
No,
hey, you guys decide, and the whole thing is right now is that Amy Cassandra Martinez is saying that she loves a romantic comedy, so I'm waiting for her to watch Set It Up.
I know,
then
right?
You can report back to us. In the next couple weeks, she'll do that, report back to us, and then she'll say, Rick Hong, you were right, just like
well,
she
duh.
did.
I mean, if multiple people say it's that it's good, then it's gonna be good. But this one, go see it. It's good.
Okay.
Go see it.
No, it's good. It's fine. Yeah.
It's better than fine. Okay.
Well, Steve Kaufman, you've been gone for a while, man. It's been nice. Whew. The silence has been great.
Wow.
But what's going on with Dirty Money?
Dirty Money is a really good series on Netflix that chronicles the two episodes I've seen. One was about payday loans. There are a lot more. One's about Donald Trump. One's about the Pharma Bro that bought the Wu-Tang album. Like, there's a lot of really good, meaty, infotainment, enrage you stories here. Mm-hmm. The episode I chose to talk about was the one about maple syrup.
That's important.
There is dirty money in maple syrup, y'all.
It's funny that you say syrup. It's throwing me.
Sorry.
Do you mean syrup?
Say it. Say it.
I mean syrup.
Syrup.
You guys are hearing syrup, right? Syrup.
Sorry. S-Y-R-U-P. However syrup. You pronounce that. It's made from trees in Quebec. And
Quebec.
Quebec.
From Canada.
Oh, God, no.
Good Lord.
Star Drew. You know that. Okay, anyways, go ahead.
It's made from trees in Quebec. And you, there's a federation of maple syrup producers that have banded together and inflated the price by controlling all of the means of production and then freezing out all of the small farmers or otherwise creating surpluses. And there's high drama. There was a heist. They act like a cartel. They say cartel dozens of times.
A maple syrup cartel?
It's both.
It's amazing.
It's as amazing and hysterical as that sounds. A maple syrup cartel.
So there's like a good like dark comedy movie in that.
Yes. Yes, there is.
Okay.
John Candy's no longer with us, or he would star in it.
Mm.
But like all the characters are there. It's a well-told, well-done documentary that understands the topic is so, so funny.
How long?
It's under 2 hours. Probably an hour 20, hour 30.
Okay.
Like
typical documentary time.
Like typical documentary time, but Dirty Money is a series, and I will tell you, don't expect the rest of Dirty Money to be this much fun.
Okay.
The syrup one, I believe, is episode 4. Let me check.
So while he is doing that, I'm going to be talking about Disenchantment, which is Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons, who has his animated show on Netflix. And it's kind of like Disenchantment. It's kind of fairy tale, like Simpsons humor animation. And it has, there's a princess who's played by Abby Jacobson from Broad City.
Mm.
And there's a whole other story with like an elf. So this is part one. It's 30 minutes. It's a very high recommend. I appreciate the cleverness.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And this is coming from a guy who I appreciate The Simpsons. I like The Simpsons, but I have not watched The Simpsons in a gazillion years other than maybe every now and then checking in on the Treehouse of Terror episodes. So this is actually, it's part one, 30 minutes. So I can't wait for part two.
Because you really liked it.
Yeah.
And this is only 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been seeing billboards and thinking it would be 90 minutes and avoiding it. It's 30 minutes. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. I don't think it's dropping next week. I don't know when part two is coming out.
I'm saying because I haven't watched part one yet.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Thinking it was a whole feature length film because that's how they're advertising it as part one. I'm assuming it's a feature length film.
Okay.
30 minutes. I can do 30 minutes.
And so last week we talked about was Stay Here, Ashley Chaney.
Stay Here. Yes. I watched Stay Here. Did you get to watch Stay Here, Amy?
No, I honestly don't remember anything about Stay Here.
So Stay Here is totally what I think would be up your alley. And any of you guys at home who are big fans of like HGTV or any of those like renovation shows, this is your girl, the designer, Genevieve Gorder.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And Genevieve Gorder and Pete Lorimer. And they basically, it's kind of a cool concept. It's one of those things that's like, put it on in the background and look at pretty houses type thing.
Mm-hmm.
These two basically go and meet people who have rental properties, i.e. Airbnb or VRBO, and they're like not making them any money. So it's fun for like that gratification. It's 30-minute episodes. The first episode is Seattle. They redo a houseboat and it's like, dang, wouldn't it be nice to have someone redo your anything for a home? It's sort of a classic home renovation show, except for that they break it down into like how much money this property will make the family. So it's cool. I think it really is starting to satiate that HGTV nook that Netflix is kind of tapping into. So mm-hmm. I think you'll enjoy it, especially if you like Jen.
Well, then, but the other question though is, what do you think that now you got a white host guy, but then you have a white host woman? What do you think? Because I know you're the critiques of the people that are hosts.
Well, at least there's a woman, and frankly, she is the stronger personality of the duo, because Peter brings like the real estate side of it, and she's very much the design. And I think I think the wow factor for visuals alone is what Genevieve brings to the table. She's an amazing designer, and she really brings to life. So it's great to have her at least get equal.
So kind of like an easy 30 minutes.
It's super
if someone
easy.
Is like in, someone that's into like HD TV type
easy
programming.
30. Yeah, totally. Nice. Easy 30. Lots of all domestic locations, which is fun. There's an episode from my home region, Paso Robles. Mm. So yeah, I'll definitely watch through this like on a weekend, you know, cleaning or cooking or whatever. Yeah,
and it sounds like a fairly original concept too. That
I mean, you know, it's a home renovation show.
But like home renovation, but there within a home renovation show, there are like easily dozens upon dozens of different shows you can do, and I've not heard of a rental property one before.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a niche. It's in sort of a very niche thing.
Because everyone's trying to flip the house. Sometimes it's like, which would be funny if you had a sister show where they're all trying to buy a house that they can rent.
Yeah.
No. So they all try to buy the house they can rent, and then you've got to go to the other show
to watch them flip it.
To watch them flip the house so they can actually rent it.
Pitch it, Steve Kaufman. Pitch it.
Okay. Well, just pitch it. We also talked about, I mean, as the opening theme is, I mean, who doesn't like magic?
Mm. Mm.
So Magic for Humans dropped on Netflix. And Amy Cassandra Martinez, how many episodes did you get through, and what did you think? I mean, obviously from that face, there's
Yeah. I think I've seen 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
You really were just going back to back. I think I got through like 2. But
so
not because I didn't want to keep going, but just because of time.
Yes. Well, and Justin Willman, okay, so it started and I was like, I've seen your face before. Where? Cupcake Wars.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So I was like, good for you, dude. Like, you were a host doing that on the Food Network channel, and he was great. Like, nothing super amazing, but now he's getting to do this, and I'm wondering, like, okay, so you made your way from there to here. This is all kind of, you know, figured out in his mind, and he's so good.
So he does magic, and he's the host?
He does magic, and it's so good, and it's so approachable.
Yeah, he'll like meet, like, random people on the street, start talking to them. I mean, you know, it's kind of like a little street magic type thing, like, hey, let me show you something cool, or let me talk to you about this, and then con his way into doing something, and then, like, being like, wow, and then he also, like, goes into, like, a classroom, and he actually makes, like, kids cry. Because he's doing some magic tricks with kids. And he's like,
there's marshmallows involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's really funny. I couldn't believe the kid that was crying.
It was one because the kid wanted to have a marshmallow and then it was gone. It's not that big of a deal. What was one
kid?
Not
in a mean-spirited way, but just right. Like, the kid obviously doesn't know what he's up to yet.
He's like, where did my marshmallow go?
Please tell me the trick is a take-up on the marshmallow experiment. Where you leave a kid in a room with one marshmallow and then tell them, is that it? Yes.
Yes. Well, and it's...
What's the marshmallow experiment?
Well, you gotta watch. Just watch. Trust
you
me.
You have to
watch. Yeah, we don't want to... Because
so
magic is
good.
One of those things where, right, if we tell you, then it gets spoiled. But, so therefore, just watch.
The marshmallow experiment's not magic, but go on.
It's so good. And honestly, like, there's a story to it. It's not just like, we're going to come here and do this. It's like he's talking his way through everything. And then he kind of just jumps into that kind of, conversation. And it's so approachable. So easy to watch. I just kept, even today, I was just like, oh, I can't believe he did that. And it's so much better than your average kind of magic, which I don't know what kind of average magic is, but this is up there for sure.
It's good. It's good. I 100% back it. It's really, really easy. I mean, it's like, it's like who, unless you think Hocus Pocus and magic is like, you know, some sort of witchcraft or something, then don't watch it. But otherwise,
but
if you
totally
like magic and you like sleight of hand and all these crazy things, and the only thing that I question is what kind of we don't see maybe like when the editing happens.
Yeah, exactly. That's
nah,
why I'm
so, don't know. Just
but it's
take
still
it.
A fun,
take
yeah,
it in.
It's still a fun watch.
I
watch 3 episodes of this versus
so
watching
good.
An hour and a half.
No.
No.
Why are you guys stepping
for
down?
For the record,
stop.
I didn't say it's not watchable. But wait, how does he compare to, like, do you guys remember David Blaine?
Yeah,
David Blaine is more of a, like, he does
like
more
a
like
performant.
Yeah, like yeah. Harry Houdini
yeah,
type.
Yeah,
danger.
Yeah,
there's like
yeah.
a little bit of, maybe at times maybe there's like danger involved.
But David Blaine did street magic, right?
Yeah.
But, okay.
But his stuff translated, I thought, really well to screen. To Amy's
yeah.
point, like
yeah.
it's hard. Well, to Rick's, it's hard sometimes to get magic to translate to the screen. That's why. I'm like,
his is fun.
And yeah,
his
my understanding
fun.
For this is it's about magic for regular people, treating them like regular people, where David Blaine was always like, hey, peon, I'm going to blow your mind.
Right.
Like
and then
dark,
does it. Whereas
mysterious.
Like this guy seems more like, hey, kids, we're going to do some magic.
Not so much Ronald McDonald, but.
Well, no, it's for everyone. For cool. everyone. For
yeah,
humans,
absolutely,
not just kids.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, it's so good.
So, Steve, I mean, like, if people aren't watching this stuff on Netflix, where else can people like, be, like, watching, listening about after shows?
You want to talk about infinite content. Mm-hmm. AfterBuzz TV has infinite content. And it produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite television shows, from dramas, reality television, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz TV continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because those are optional. There's a bell. You do not have to click the bell. I think we're the only call to action that's telling you not to click the bell, or that you don't have to. You should if you want to. So hit the subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz TV YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did in the comments so we will thank you on air. For now, thank you for letting us be the thank you for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
That's right.
ESPN swoosh.
Amy, so some other version of magic is when you can get your pet or your animal to obey.
Yes.
So therefore, Amy Cassandra Martinez is watching. Although she owns a cat, so I don't quite get this.
You're weird.
You watched
Caesar 911.
Uh-huh. What? Oh,
yes. Okay, backstory. My mom and I used to watch Dog Whisperer back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten a lot of DMs about this. I am not only a cat person, I am an animal person.
Mm-hmm.
So if animals are involved, I'm there. So, yes, that's why I wanted to watch Caesar 911. And it's nice because I think it's about an hour or so long. And there's a lot of different cases. And he does his thing that, you know, if you don't know who Caesar Milan is, he is the Dog Whisperer.
That's
and
right.
And he's amazing. And he helps dogs that, you know, maybe are just not self-confident, and that can really translate to the owner. You know, just not problem dogs, but like when owners have issues with their dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice. It's just as good as I remember. And yeah, just it's cute also to see that many dogs. And oh, mm-hmm. look
backstory.
At that picture. Come on. Look at the happy dog. That's cute, that's puppy. His dog.
Yeah. He has a lot of dogs. I know because I've walked with his pack.
Shut Ooh, your mouth. Oh no. My God, that's so cool.
I helped design cover art for one of Caesar's earlier DVDs, and I came to meet the dogs in his pack, and you guys, it was terrifying. The guy, it's not fake. Everything that you see on camera is real. He really has like a handle on. I walked up in the ranch. I walked up by myself. I am not afraid of dogs. Like Amy, I'm a huge animal person, dog, cat, whatever. I'll pet every kind of dog. But he has a pack of like some mangly dogs, like missing eyes, missing legs.
Babies.
Walk up to him. I walked up to him. He's got, and I'm not joking, about 35 dogs behind him. Not a single one on leash. He doesn't, there's not a single one of those dogs stepped in front of him. Like he, the whole Dang. Pack was walking by. It was crazy. And then he was like, take my hand. I'm like, okay. And I took his hand and then like walked beside him. And then all the dogs were like, knew I was like also in charge.
Oh my gosh. Someone should have recorded that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A different kind of magic.
It was a different kind of magic.
Yeah. And I they do put a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode, like, do not try these things without a licensed professional. But it's always interesting to see how quickly dogs can change depending on the owner's attitude, feelings, emotions at the time. So if you need help, I mean, go take your dog somewhere where there's a professional, because do not try these things at home.
Also, what I can say from someone who's looked after dogs for other people before, you can only, like, that person can only do so much if the owner doesn't care. Because I remember so many times I would live with a dog, and like I would essentially curb the dog. The dog would like behave how I'd like them to, and then the owner would get home, and then let the dog behave however they saw fit. And it's like, it's a dog. It doesn't see colors. It doesn't have short-term memory. Like, you really have to work within this realm, and you're just not doing that.
Yeah, it's about keeping consistency for the dog, for yourself, for everyone. But it's really fun. It's
Interesting.
Really nice.
And
yeah.
So I meant long-term memory.
I'm going to slip something in here. So Netflix seems to be high on this actor named Daniel Doheny. Daniel Doheny is the lead in Alex Strangelove, and he's also one of the actors in The Package. Mm-hmm. This thing popped up. I had no idea it was popping up. The movie is called Adventures in Public School.
Okay.
And it popped on my thing, non-Netflix release. So it's not actually a Netflix brand thing, but they use him because he's been in their stuff. Mm-hmm. It stars him and Judy Greer. Imagine a kid that grows up homeschooled forever. And then he finally decides that he needs to go to public school because, like, I think the first thing that happens is that he takes a test and he doesn't test out like he was supposed to. So he makes this kind of bargain, and the whole idea was that, like, yeah, I was homeschooled my whole life, and my mom was my friend, my best friend.
Like Mean Girls.
And but... I don't have any other friends, so I need to go to public school to, like, learn how to make them. The one thing that I don't like about this, and the reason I didn't finish it, is because although I actually like him as an actor, I like Judy Greer. Number one, I also don't think that she's a mom. I think she's still a hottie. But she...
Rick loves
their relationship seems a little creepy.
Oh, really? Like, you feel like it's, like, flirty?
Yeah, like, at one point, she's trying to teach him how to be a, like, teenage rebel against her. No. And I was like, that's where I kind of liked the concept I liked. But that kind of just was, I was like, and, like, some of the, like, they have a prom together. Like, she has a prom for him, and it's just, like, him and her. It's just, it's there's some weird little subtle creepiness. So it is a pass. But, hey, I just wanted to pop that in there really quick. That was, I managed to at least... try to watch it, and I wanted to watch it, and I wanted to finish it, and I didn't.
What was the title one more time?
Adventures in Public School.
Adventures in Public School. Pass from Rick Kong. Okay.
How much did you watch that?
I watched a good almost like half of it.
Okay.
But I finally was like, whereas like something like Disenchantment, watch really fast, and then something with like what you ladies were watching, To All the Boys I've Loved Before, I learned to turn it off only because I was like, I know that this isn't my demographic, not because it's a bad movie. However, Ashley Chaney, who's in the chat?
Oh, in the chat today, you guys, we've got some of our old standbys. We've got Serenity Q. What's up? Jay Becker. Star Drew, of course. Star Drew has some questions for you, Amy. Should we hit them?
Get it.
If they're nice.
Amy, have you seen any of these three films? Homeward Bound, Iron Will.
Okay, I've seen one so far.
Continue. Okay, and then the third is Alpha. I'm not sure if that's a movie or a TV show. Star Drew, if you can let us know if it's a movie
Alpha
or a TV
22.
Show.
Alpha 22. I haven't seen that one if it's 22.
But who hasn't seen Homeward Bound?
I know, I've seen that
one. And then if someone's not watching us, where can they actually, if you're not watching us live, where can they get us,
and
Ashley?
If you don't get to see our beautiful faces here and get a shout out to us from our YouTube channel, you can definitely listen to us on iTunes. Please go to our iTunes page and give us 5 stars because that's the only one that works. Aww. And you'll hear that sound when you do. iTunes, and make sure you tell them that Netflix Picks sent you there so that we can give you shout outs.
That's absolutely right. So hidden gems or some revisits. I don't know if this one's a hidden gem or if it's a revisit for you, Ashley.
I have a revisit. I guess it's a hidden gem in that I saw that it was released. We talked episode before last about P.S. I Love You, which is a how could you not love P.S. I Love You? Men and women agree. And that got me on kind of a Hilary Swank kick.
Yeah.
And then from Hilary Swank, I noticed that Million Dollar Baby was up on Netflix.
Good movie.
So that's a sort of, I'll call it a hidden gem, if you will. It would come up right on the top of my queue. The only thing about that is I don't normally like Clint Eastwood movies, but I love boxing, and I
really
do, I'm a boxer, and I do like Hilary Swank. So this was this movie is like a whew.
It's a heavy movie, though. It's a good movie, but it's a very heavy movie. Yeah. So keep that in mind if you haven't seen it. But I agree with her. It's a good hidden gem.
It's a good one. Yeah, if you're looking for like a Sunday easy back into the real world of Monday.
So, Steve, why don't you tell me about Ashley Chaney's boyfriend, Ryan Reynolds, in this movie called...
Mississippi Grind. It was in Sundance in 2015. It is by... I do not want to get their names wrong. It is by a... writer-director duo Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck. You might know those names from a different Ryan, where they cut their teeth with Half Nelson.
Oh, okay, great. Good
also,
movie.
They are involved writing and directing, I believe, on the Captain Marvel movie.
No.
Yes. So if cool. These are people I like to people on the up like that. I like to follow.
So thoughts?
This movie was wonderful.
Oh, good. To hear.
Although. This was one of those movies I heard a lot of great things about in Sundance, but usually when Ryan Reynolds does when Ryan Reynolds and Ben Mendelsohn, the folks in this movie.
Wait. So now you're talking about Ben Mendelsohn. And the interesting thing about Ben Mendelsohn is that both Amy Cassandra Martinez and I have interviewed him on the red carpet.
Fair.
For The Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
Or for Darkest Hour.
Perfect. So, like, a lot of great folks there, a lot of buzz around the movie, and then it kind of came out, and I heard a review that wasn't favorable, and, like, you only have so much bandwidth to watch a movie, so I didn't actually seek this one out. I saw it on Netflix this week. I don't know what that reviewer was talking about. This is a wonderful film.
I'm watching it.
Straightforward characters. The gist is Ben Mendelsohn's a down on his luck gambler. He's in Iowa. You don't know much about him other than that. Ryan Reynolds is a Ryan Reynolds type.
So there's some funny moment, yeah.
But like a little shadier, seedier, like the kind of Ryan Reynolds that would be in a card room in Iowa, essentially. Like imagine Ryan Reynolds in a card room in Iowa. That's this character Curtis that he's playing. They, through some circumstances, decide that they want to drive all the way down to New Orleans and play and like make a bunch of money and like kind of... and.
What's beautiful is they don't know each other, and they're in a world of gambling where you're not supposed to trust each other, and you like you spend the whole movie wondering whose motives are what and this and that, and it maybe it's the poker and the gambler in me that I was really able to follow it and like it, but I enjoyed this film a lot.
Nice.
So Steve knows when to hold him, and he knows when to fold him.
Oh, look at that.
But speaking of, instead of Darkest Hour, let's talk about Dark Tourist, Amy Cassandra Martinez.
We covered this. You talked
about
you.
Yeah.
Oh. Which one did you watch? I'm sorry. I want to know what's about.
I saw a Latin America one is the pilot, and
This is a revisit. This is a revisit because Ashley watched it.
Yeah. It was...
It's tough, right?
This is what I keep hearing about this show. That's why I don't watch it.
Because it's like, well, it's, yeah.
Well, okay, so like it's interesting because, yes, you go and you see a different part of the world. He went to Colombia. But he talks about stuff that people don't usually talk about. So it's like the dark, like mysterious stuff, which is interesting. There's like, you know, a little exorcism that happened on screen, which was, whoa. But... Yeah, he's not super charismatic, and I'm like, okay, this could be cut down, and this could be multiple episodes. You could do like multiple episodes in Latin America, and there's a nice idea behind it. It just didn't fully like, yeah. This was the first thing I saw this past week when I was making my way through all the things on Netflix, and it was just like, kind of forgot I saw it. Yeah, it's not good.
It sounds like it would be more cohesive if he did an episode about exorcisms. And he used the footage from anywhere he went.
Yeah. Then Rick even suggested, like, maybe it's a full documentary on, like, one full hour of, like, the highlights, the best of, sort of. And I actually agree that that would probably be... One episode, it didn't... As much, like, information as you want to cram into there, I had the same sort of mediocre reaction to it, which is that parts of it felt, like, disrespectful to the places that they were visiting.
He was kind of laughing, even
kind of, like,
they
poking
were...
fun at, like, in many cases, like, tragedy and death. Because that's what we're morbidly curious about, these terrible events that have happened. But it's actually, like, kind of delicate, and you need to do it with a little bit of grace. And so I think straddling that line, it didn't really wow me, but it was interesting enough.
Well, I mean, so think about this. At the beginning of the show, they completely disagreed, and now they agree.
Amy and I can agree to
that. I know.
We didn't even completely disagree. Well,
how about this for Netflix news, which actually, this news is actually kind of music to my ear.
All right.
So, The Break, Michelle Wolf, canceled.
Oof.
The Joel McHale Show, canceled.
I'm okay with that.
Both shows canceled. That is a big thing that dropped for Netflix news this week.
I haven't seen Michelle Wolf, but you're glad it's gone.
I thought the Michelle Wolf show was great. I thought the Joel McHale show was the talk soup show, but today, which just doesn't really play very well, and if you give Joel McHale too much rain, he's not great.
Maybe that style doesn't work on Netflix.
But that's what I was going to get with. I think this would be a move for them to abandon weekly comedy. Chelsea didn't work there. Michelle Wolf isn't working there. Joel McHale isn't working there. That maybe... Maybe this is their step in abandoning weekly comedy.
Interesting.
Weekly and or daily comedy.
Go ahead.
If they just spend more money to get, like, Jay Leno, let's say, then no, that's a terrible move.
He's busy.
He is busy.
No, because we still like comedians in cars getting coffee. Oh, that's a little different, but then we still like the David Letterman specials that he has with people, just like the one-on-one interview.
But none of that is topical.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So when you try to do topical comedy, A, that's such a crowded marketplace. And B, your, like, the metrics, they try their damnedest to get you to watch what they want you to watch every week, but that, I guarantee you, for something to do 5% of the total traffic on Netflix for one weekend would be an incredible success. Like, that would be Orange is the New Black. So that's the kind of number you're looking for, that weekly content that's useless the next week doesn't actually work on this platform.
I see what you mean.
Okay, and then...
Because there's no rewatchability on her show, sorry.
No. And then finally, our top three upcoming releases for next week is The After Party, which I believe After Buzz TV actually went to their carpet, that footage should be up on our red carpets footage. But when an aspiring rapper goes viral for all the wrong reasons, he thinks his career is over. But when his best friend gets them into a wild New York City after party, he gets one more chance to make the impossible happen.
I like the tagline. It says, "Doors open for those who push." Bam!
Nice.
Who's the star? Is anybody we know?
No, nobody. Okay. Nobody major. Okay. Nobody major, but that's going to be like their release next week. And then we have The Innocents, which is going to be coming out as number two that I've got for you. When teenagers Harry and June are away from their repressive families to be together, they are derailed by an extraordinary discovery, June's ability to shapeshift.
Mm. Ooh la la. Huh.
I think we've seen the trailer for that before.
Sci-fi. Sky High, but different. Mm.
And then the other one is Ghoul.
Ghoul. I bet it's a
foreign.
Ashley's favorite.
It's foreign. So a prisoner arrives at a remote military interrogation center and turns the tables on his interrogators, exposing their most shameful secrets.
Oof. It's foreign? Is that what you said?
Foreign horror. Yeah. Mm.
Where?
It's from... I'll make one prediction about Ghoul. It's either going to be the greatest thing ever or the worst thing ever.
That, I mean, there's a lot of bad things out there.
That does not seem like a middle ground kind of a movie. Hindi. That feels like a swing for the fence movie.
Hindi. So it's a spoken language is English and Hindi. So
oh, I like that.
I like the long line I'm in.
All right. So, let's I mean, those that. Are, yeah. So that's next week. And so we'll see which one of those we decide to cover. I mean, definitely at the after party, I'll be watching it. And Amy seems to be in Ghoul. And then Ash will be watching The Innocents.
I definitely won't. That's a lie. No. You know this.
In the meantime, I'm Rick Hong. You guys can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-E-C-K-H-O-N-G. And...
Everybody, I'm Ashley on camera. If you want to talk to me about what you're cooking in your kitchen or what you're watching on Netflix, do it there at Ashley on camera, everywhere online.
I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. I'm involved in 5 YouTube channels. If you want to find out which ones, you got to go ahead and follow me.
And I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez. And you can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra M-T-Z. Thank you guys for watching.
All right, guys. That's it for now. Next Sunday, 7 p.m. We'll hear.
See you there.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.